big number of people. So she knows who I'm speaking about. Yes. That's what. That part was the cycle of Moses the prophet. And after the departure of Moses, Joshua found himself in charge of the children of Israel. And he had a big task to accomplish. The big task is to resubmit the children of Israel into the promised land. And he was troubled. How would he handle the situation? So God appeared to him and gave him an advice how to handle this situation. Let's read the advice in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, starting from verse 5. Say, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers against them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. So the advice here is to do according to all the law which Moses the Lord's servant commanded just. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt be it therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt have good success. So the commandment here is, in order to be a good leader, in order to be a successful leader, you need to follow the law of God. You need to follow the commands of God. You need to follow the word of God. Don't depart from it. Meditate in the word of God, day and night. Don't turn to the left, not to the right. Just follow exactly the commands of God. Which means what? Means, if we follow the word of God, we will be successful. If we follow the word of God, we will be strong. And any challenge that Satan, through the grace of God and through the power of His holy word, will be able to overcome these challenges. The same meaning, we read it in Psalm 1, which we pray every day in the triumph prayer. It describes the godly man and it says about this man that he meditates in the law of God day and night. So he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that breaks forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Why? Because simply he is following the word of God. The word of God is this part like a river, and the person who is receiving the word of God is not like a tree planted by the river, and gives its fruit in its season. So this book is the mystery of our success. This book is the mystery of our prosperity. If we follow the commandments of God, yes, we will be successful and will be able to face any challenges in our life. Unfortunately, God gave us one book and many of us are sitting down to be didn't finish reading this book. See, in order to finish your degree, how many books did you finish? How many books did you read? Several books. 10, maybe 100 books. You read. other than this, we read books for entertainment, for fun, you know, for knowledge. We read several books, and one book that Jesus gives to us, and Jesus says, if you read one chapter a day, you can finish the Holy Bible in 3 years. So, if you start reading by the age of, for example, 7 or 8, and now you are 29 or 30, so, you were reading for 21 years, and expecting you to finish the Bible in 7 months. But, as I told you, many of us read the Bible, and today is the first day of the year. I want everyone to make a commitment with God to read the Bible every day, every day. But there are many challenges that the world says about the Bible. And actually, these challenges were introduced first by who was the first one who challenged the Word of God? Who was the first one who sent the doubt of the Word of God? David. When?
How about just when David told Eve that God was just stop himself to not eat from the tree because he doesn't want him to be like?
Exactly. If we read in Genesis chapter 2, you will find the first law in the world. The first law. And of course, who introduced the first law? Satan, the father of every law. That's how the Bible says about Satan being the father of every law. God said to Adam and Eve, you can eat from any tree in the garden, but don't eat and eat out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then in this chapter 3, it's written, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast from the field, which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? This question means what? It casts its doubt on the word of God. Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So, he's making Eve doubting the word of God. Not only this, but he distorted the word of God. Why? Because God didn't say to Adam and Eve, don't eat of every tree of the garden. He told them you can eat of any tree except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So it is not only casting doubt, but also he distorted the word of God. At a certain point, Eve said to him, no, God said to us, you may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. So, he also denied the word of God. God said, you will die. Satan said, you surely will not die. So, what the devil did? He did three things. He cast it out. He distorted the way of the word of God. And also, he denied the word of God. So, three starts with three, to remember. That, distortion, and denial. He cast it out of the word of God. He distorted the word of God and he denied the word of God. And actually, these are the challenges that Satan is in the Bible right now. So the challenges that Christians divided right now are not new. They are old as Adam and Eve. What is the first challenge that meets us today for the challenge of life? The first one is the Bible is the Word of God. Is it really the Word of God? That is the first challenge. Has God said? Has God said? So this is the first challenge. Is the Bible the Word of God or not? The second challenge is its scope. Many people claim that the version of the Bible that we have is the scope. It's not the original one. It is the scope. The third challenge, how do you understand the Word of God? Because Adam Satan said to Eve, no, you shall surely not die. Which means you misunderstood God. That it is here this way. Actually, if you eat of it, your eyes will be open. So the third distortion, the third challenge to the state of Bible is how to observe, how to understand what God meant exactly by this word. And under this also, there is some contradiction, apparent contradiction between some verses in the Bible. And that's why in this conference, we will respond to these four challenges. The first one, is it the Word of God? Is the Bible the Word of God? And this will be our first lecture about inspiration. Inspiration. And we will speak about how the Bible is the Word of God because it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this is the first lecture. The second lecture is its distorted. Is the Bible that we have it right now distorted? So the second lecture about the reliability of the Bible. Is it scientific or just science-fiction? And the third lecture will be about interpretation. Because many denominations are using the same Bible. But we have different interpretations and different understandings. So how we interpret the Bible in the right way? Because when we read the Bible, we need to understand what God meant by the commandment, not how we understand. Because we will be judged according to what God, what was in God's mind, not how we understand. So the third lecture will be about the interpretation of the Bible. And the fourth lecture will be about some apparent contradictions or controversies between some verses in the Bible. I will try to resolve some of these contradictions together. And then the next two lectures, one will be how we study the Bible, how we study the Bible. And the last lecture is about the fifth chapter. Some of those churches believe in the fifth chapter. So we will discuss in the sixth lecture whether our subject of this church believes in the fifth gospel or not. And that's why if you read through your notebook, you will find some questions to you, and we want you to tell us whether we believe in the fifth gospel or not. And what is the text of who wrote it and what year was it? You know? So I want you to look at this page and try to answer this question before you come to the lecture. We expect you to answer this question. So actually in this conference we will speak about inspiration, then interpretation, reliability, and contradictions or controversies. And two lectures, one about how to study the Bible, and the next one about the Bible. So we'll start now by our fifth lecture, which is inspiration. What does the word inspiration mean? When we say inspiration, what does the word inspiration mean? When we say the word of God, what the Bible says to inspire, what does it mean? Yes, Peter, how do you give it to God? What?
Moved by.
So the apostles, the authors of the Bible, were moved by the Holy Spirit. And Peter was moved by the Holy Spirit. There is more to inspiration, more than that. Yes.
Collection
of facts. I mean, inspiration is something that it's not like collecting data and analyzing data or bringing facts together.
So it's more than collecting data and facts
together.
What's
more?
Yes, yeah. Sorry, the data is one.
So, expression is station, God sent, or the Holy Spirit sent to the apostles, right? Inspiration is station. We asked this our lecture today.
We're not just inspired by things that have to be in the Spirit.
Oh, yes?
Asia and then the Spirit. So that's the inspired. Like, the Spirit of God will give them the feeling and the idea of what he writes there. And whatever was in
the Spirit. So we were inspired just by the thoughts and ideas. Were we inspired by the Word?
Yes, of course. Because God has already been believed to my heaven.
So the thought and the ideas and the word. So what's the difference between this and dictation?
Well, dictation means I have to write whatever I want to say to him. But in fact, means I give him the idea and then he writes it with his own character. How can you talk inside into those that difference between the different spirits?
This is very close. This spirit tries to understand some terminology when we speak about inspiration. And then I give you some criteria of inspiration, and then we'll come up with the definition. But we read this word a lot, the Holy Spirit inspired, or we were working with the author's word inspired by the Holy Spirit. So let's understand what this word means. Inspiration, what does this word mean? First, let me speak about revelation. Revelation, what does revelation mean?
I have a secret, and I'm going to show it to someone particular that person. So I'm showing him my own history.
Okay, how many times of revelation? Is there only one type of revelation, or there are many types of revelation?
Yeah, of course, there are many types of revelation.
You know,
I had a very, very clear revelation, which I review every week, and so I had the person standing in front of each every week, there is no mystery behind it. But our liberation is useful because mystery sees and how God is useful and what this means and mystery studies, mystery want to know God, and mystery.
You know, this is God. We've got to speak something. How many times
have you been this? Well, like the Galilee, that's a certain a kind of revelation, which is the transfiguration of God. And that is why.
And so, if you put it in the way of the Lord, it looks like the Lord. What do you think about revelation? There are two kinds of revelation, two types of revelation. Number one, what we call it general revelation, and what we call it special revelation. General revelation and special revelation. But before we speak about revelation, how we define revelation? Revelation is the communication of the truth. God communicates the truth to us. This is revelation. And who is the truth? God. So how does communicate himself to us? There is general revelation, which is the hidden, the nature, the sky, the stars. As the Psalm says, the hidden declares the glory of God. This is a revelation. And anybody can see the hidden. It's revealed to everybody. And when you see the hidden, the stars, the human body, the mysteries of the nature, you will say there is a creator behind all of this. So God is revealing himself, you know, in a general way to everybody. And that's why the Bible says, the ignorant says, there is no God. The ignorant says in his heart, there is no God. Why? Because if any one person just look at the nature, definitely you will believe in the existence of God. That's what we call general revelation. So God is communicating the truth of his existence to everybody. And that's why there is no excuse for the atheist. There is no excuse for that. And the second revelation, what we call it special revelation. Special revelation. Like when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. This was a special revelation. God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and said to him, I am God, God your father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. I saw the affliction of my people, I heard their cries, I know their suffering, I will come down to deliver them and bring them out to a land clothed with honey and milk. So this was a special gift. I say chapter 6, when I pray, so the glory of God is there of me. This was a revelation. Ezekiel chapter 1, this was again another revelation. When Ezekiel saw the throne of God and the four exterior features. So when John was taken to the heavens, or was revealed, or saw the vision, no, he was in the spirit, and he recorded for us the book of Revelation. All these are special revelation. So revelation is the communication of the truth. Communication of the truth. Inspiration that the recording of the revealed truth. So when the revealed truth is recorded, that's what we call it inspiration. So, revelation is the communication of the truth to us, and inspiration is recording of the revealed truth. And of course, when we we record the truth, we need to keep it truth, because it's recorded, if it's distorted while it is recorded, then it loses truth anymore. And that's why we say the inspiration is by the Holy Spirit, in order to protect the truth from any distortion. And the truth will be recorded exactly like it is. So, let's move little by little. Revelation is the communication of the truth, and inspiration is recording of the revealed truth. I have a question for you right now. Can we have revelation without inspiration? And can we have inspiration without revelation? What do you think? Can we have this script of inspiration? Can we have revelation without inspiration? Which means what? Revelation without inspiration means there was a communicated truth, but this truth was not recorded. Okay. If you say yes, can you give me an example of revelation without inspiration? How do you explain? Okay, now. Tradition. What do you mean? The tradition of three gang tradition now. This is discovery, yeah. Just need the segmentation and expression. We'll explain it when we start to explain what is the criteria of inspiration. So just wait for this question, the segmentation and inspiration. The segmentation is something that is reported with no action of the Holy Spirit. But this will be answered later on. But my question, can we have revelation without inspiration? Yes.
First I will speak in Arabic. It says in the book of John, وَأَشْيَاءٍ كَثِيرَةٍ فَمَعَهَا يَسُوَانٍ كُتِبَتْ وَاحِدَ ثَلَثُ أَنُونُ عَلَى الْعَالَمِ يَسْعَلْتُ كُتِبِ
Then I'm sure, yeah. In many cases, the Lord said this, these things were not recorded.
And at the same time, I believe in the book of Revelation, John himself has seen something, but he didn't write about it, or he was forbidden from it.
Exactly. Actually, the second example is the right answer. Then I guess even after I saw the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, Revelation chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, you're like, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered at right their mouth. So, these seven thunders reveal many things to John. And he was about Christ. He was more. He was inspired for us. But again, he was prohibited. And a voice came to him, don't write up to these thunders. Write them now. So this is an example of revelation without inspiration. There was revelation here. Yes, in the form.
What
St. Paul has been taken
to the
church. That's my second example. When St. Paul, was taken to the third heaven, to the paradise, and told things, but he was not able to utter to the flame. This is another example of revelation without inspiration. Thanks. Let's go to the other question. Can we have inspiration without revelation? Can we have inspiration without revelation? I'm going to say yes, and this is that. By definition, we can. Of course, by definition, we can. But let me make my question more clear. Can we have inspiration without special revelation? Can we have revelation without special revelation? Can we have inspiration without special revelation? Yeah, people record something without special revelation. Can this be happen? Which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us which some to the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order most excellently. So here's the truth, what we're doing. We're trying to collect from the original sources, from the other witnesses, what happened. And because he had perfect understanding, he starts to write. So it is like what we said, inspiration, but I'm going to spend all different things between inspiration and inspiration. So this is a recording of the revealed truth, but without any special revelation. Without any special revelation. Yeah, he didn't see a vision in order to write his stuff. If I can tell you about revelation and inspiration. The third terminology I want you to understand is authority. If the Bible is the word of God 100%, of course we believe the Bible is 100% the word of God. Then the Bible is or has authority. There is authority with every word, with every letter in the Bible. And the Lord said, the heaven and earth will perish, or will be destroyed, or pass away, but not even a letter from the Lord will be destroyed. But I have another question for you here. Do you think that every word in the Bible has authority over us? Do you think that every word in the Bible has authority? That's my okay. Every word in the Bible has authority? Yes? No? So you say yes? All of you agree? No? You don't agree? So not every single word has authority? No, why not? No Testament, there is eye for eye, or don't follow there. Okay. What else? There are others.
Many of the legal traditions, Jewish traditions, some of the other ceremonial traditions being
yeah. Because these were fulfilled in the meter. Actually, every word in the Bible has authority. Except few things. Number one, the words that are said by Satan, and when Satan said to Adam and Eve, or to Eve, "You surely shall not die," this word is a true electric word, there is truth, because truth means what? Yes, indeed Satan said this to Eve. But this word, this sentence, is not right. Because who wrote this sentence? Satan. So that the story in itself is true, but the words are not true, because they were told by Satan. You understand what I'm confused? Another example. When Peter said to the Lord, Peter advised the Lord, "No, you will not be crucified, you will not die." This advice, the story in itself is true. But this advice is not a true advice. And shouldn't have authority. Do you understand? So, the wrong advice in the Bible, although the word this story is true, for the advice by Satan has no authority. Do you follow me? While you are confused, asleep. The third terminology, the fourth, the plain revelation, the revelation. What revelation? No, I think I cannot hear. Communication of the truth. What inspiration? Recording of the revealed truth. What inspiration? And the third terminology is term is authority. The fourth term is inerrancy. Inerrancy means there is no error in the Bible. There is no error in the Bible. M error. This English. INERRANCY. Error. Error means there is error. In errancy, there is no error. Without error. Okay. My question to you here. Many times you say, okay, don't use this version is not accurate. So, how can we apply that inerrancy for the Bible? When we say, there is no error in the Bible. There is no error in the Bible, in the original manuscripts that are written by the author. So when we speak about inerrancy, we are speaking about the original manuscripts that are written by the author. So for example, if we have the manuscript written by Saint Matthew in its original language, this manuscript has no error. Absolutely has no error. Absolutely. But of course, today I'm not going to speak about today, because this is another lecture in the course of interpretation or translation. Of course, with translation and interpretation, we found errors. And to say that if you want to understand any verse in its real meaning, we should go to the original manuscript, the original language. So when we speak about the inerrancy, we say the original manuscript that was written by the author of the Bible, or the writer of the Bible, what we call illumination. illumination. Why is illumination? Listamara. Something is the revealed truth of God. The Bible is the revealed truth of God. But because sin is blind and sin darkens our understanding, that's why we need to be illuminated in order to understand the revealed truth of God. So illumination here is related to me, to the reason. Illumination is related to the reason. Which means the reader, when they read the Holy Scripture, they have to pray to be illuminated in order to understand the revealed truth in the Bible. And that's why we have the litany of the Gospel. What's the litany for the Gospel? The litany for the Gospel. What's the litany for the Gospel? Nobody knows? That is the prayer which Acuna prays enter before reading the Holy Gospel. So Acuna would make us worthy to hear and act according to your word. I have a great definition before we say the definition of the inspiration. Let me speak about the criteria of inspiration. Rahman always has some terms about inspiration or related to the subject of inspiration. Now we will understand some of the criteria of inspiration. Inspiration is both for the soul, ideas, and also the world. It is not only the thoughts and ideas, but also the words are inspired. If you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You are like me. All scripture is given by an inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by an inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration. Because some people believe that inspiration is related only to the thoughts and ideas. But no. God or the Holy Spirit inspired the author of the Bible with the thoughts, the ideas, and also with the words. And the famous story of Simon the Elder, when he was writing and he wanted to change or replace the word virgin by girl, and now an angel appeared and prevented him from this change. So he was inspired to use the word virgin, not a girl. So inspiration is both for the thought and also the word. In Hagar, we say inspiration is affirmed only to the original manuscript. As I was saying, there is no error in the original manuscript. So when we speak about inspiration, inspiration is affirmed 100% in the original manuscript. Which means when someone translates the Bible from its original language to another language, in this process we cannot say there is inspiration. We cannot say if this inspiration in choosing the word better than any English language or Arabic language. So inspiration is related only or a permit only in writing the original manuscript. And that's why sometimes you don't know. This version is better. The using of words in this version are better than this that verse. Is that cool? Inspiration is related to both utterance of the word and prohibition or prohibition of the word. This is the system. The Holy Spirit prevented the author of the Bible from writing certain things. So inspiration not only related to what they recorded, but also what they didn't record. That inspiration didn't only help the authors to write what they want to write, but also prevented them from writing certain things. Like the example of St. John, for which he was instructed not to write about the seventh chapter. Expression is like guidance. Like guidance. In this guidance, there is two powers are working together. The divine power and the human power. So, in expression, it's perfectly divine and perfectly human. Let me explain the analogy. If we say the Bible is perfectly human, means there is no supernatural power. But no, the Bible is written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which means there was a supernatural power, the Holy Spirit, protecting or keeping the authors from any error, helping them to choose the right word, and preventing them from recording certain things. So there is a supernatural power controlling the authors of the Bible. But in the same time, it is perfectly human, which means this supernatural power didn't eliminate or didn't cancel the personality of the author. We can say that is the style of St. Paul, this is the style of St. Peter, this style of St. Luke, this style of St. Matthew. So this was Cyrus. So when we speak about inspiration, it is both human and divine. Perfectly human and perfectly divine. When we say perfectly divine and perfectly human, the ma'ana is not fictitious. Because if it's fictitious, it is not human. Fictitious means that the Quran, Lord Book of Islam, the inspiration of the Quran is fictitious. And according to them, Gabriel appeared to Muhammad and Allah right, and he was just right. This adaptation that was in Islam. So there is elimination of the human agency. But inspiration is not fictitious because it's both divine and human. And it is not only documentation, because documentation is perfectly human. It can be human, you know, anything. So except look, what he did is just documentation, it's perfectly human. But the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, was controlling him in the thoughts and ideas, what to write and what not to write, without canceling his personality. Right? You understand this? So when you speak about inspiration, it's perfectly divine and perfectly human. My last point here about inspiration, how it works. how it works, how the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles. The answer to this question, we don't know. It is inexplicable. Nobody can understand. It is beyond our comprehension. We know the result of it. The result of the inspiration, there is no error in the Bible. Absolutely no error in the written manuscript of the Bible. But how it operates, we don't know. We don't know. And of course, inspiration is limited only to the Holy Bible. Inspiration is limited only to the Holy Bible. Let me read this verse with you, 2 Peter, verse chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. We will be knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Which means everything in the scripture is inspired by God. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy cannot in all time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So in this verse, we see the two elements. Who spoke here? The Holy Spirit of God. That is the human dimension. And now, moved by the Holy Spirit. That's the divine image. So inspiration is both human and divine. So, we can say inspiration is the supernatural action of the Holy Spirit in the mind of the author, so that the scripture is both humanly and divine. First is divine and then is human. The manifestation is the supernatural action of the Holy Spirit in the mind of the author, so that the scripture is both defined and new. This is the definition of inspiration. I'm confused. I will say it. But you follow me on a lot of information. Doctor, inspiration is supernatural action. Supernatural action of the Holy Spirit in the mind of the author, the sacred author, so that the scripture is both perfectly divine and perfectly human. Okay, the pieces. Inspiration is the supernatural action of the Holy Spirit in the mind of the sacred author, so that the scripture is both perfectly divine and perfectly human. Any other one there? Nobody? You make me feel bad here that nobody can see it. Again, inspiration is the supernatural act. The supernatural act of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has supernatural act seen in the mind of the sacred author. So that there is not the battle. The scripture is both perfectly divine and perfectly human. I can't be kidding you, Parakhi.
The supernatural power that
of the Holy Spirit,
that has to act through the mind of the original sacred author That's totally completely.
So that's the
scripture. It's perfect. It's human and perfectly divine.
Very good. He said, Stephen, they have a good and gracious guy. Che cosa è lusso in una situazione molto grave?
Supernatural action of the Holy Spirit working in the minds of the offering so that the scripture that's produced is perfectly divine and perfectly human.
Very good. Very good. Perfecto. In Africa. Okay. Nella stessa via si muove in
Africa. The supernatural power of the Holy Spirit inspired in the sacred mind, inspired in the minds of the sacred authors to make the to produce a perfectly divine and perfectly human scripture.
Very, very good. Thank you. But in just 5 minutes, I'm going to finish. I'm just about. In 5 minutes, I need to make 5 sales for this village. There are 5 wrong sales of this village. The first theory, what we call it intuition theory. Which means, then this theory eliminates the supernatural action of the Holy Spirit. They say, in the Holy Name, of course this is a wrong theory, it's not a right theory. This is the same. The Holy Name, the author of the Bible, because of their holy life, they became irritated, and that's why they wrote the Holy Scripture without any error, just because they were holy or living a holy life. So they were irritated because of their holy. Of course, this theory is wrong because it eliminates the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And as we read in 2 Peter, well, that they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The second theory, which is exactly the opposite of this theory, led by Matthew Anna, which theory? Dictation. The fixation is the elimination of the human element. If a human don't tell the elimination of the divine element, but then a fear of the fear of fixation because the elimination of the human element. Well, then the fear of fixation is Islam. And in Islam, the word is fixation. Just to say, social inspiration. And this theory is a theory of inspiration in Protestant churches. Martin Luther told him and all the Protestant leaders believe in this theory. The partial inspiration. What does it say, the partial inspiration? You all know, if the Bible is true regarding the doctrine of salvation. So, any fact in the Bible related to the doctrine of salvation or related to our faith is true. and it is inspired. And God protected the authors from any error. But all other things, like the historical event of the Bible, or the scientific event of the Bible, it was not inspired. And that's why he fixed some error in history, in historical events, or in science. And of course, we don't believe in this theory. The Bible, every word is the Bible. The history in the Bible, the science of the Bible is absolutely true. We are going to tell them about that tomorrow, in the lecture of tomorrow. So I'm not going to start today. But that is the Protestant theory of inspiration. And that's why the Protestants have no problem to say this is scientifically incorrect. This is scientifically or historically incorrect in the Bible. Because we believe in the partial inspiration of the text. The fourth theory, the thoughts are inspired but not the words. The thoughts are inspired but not the words. So, some biblical, scholars, like so-called scholars, they believe that the thoughts in the Bible are correct, but not the words. So the words were not inspired. But we believe that every word in the Bible was inspired. So, in every word, there is both the divine element and the human element. In every word, in the selection of every word, there is both the divine element and the human element. The next theory, the Bible contains the word of God, but it is